As we go into the message today, I was thinking about how we need to really use our lives, be real, and talk about things that mean something to all of us. And my sermon today is called Insured Beyond the Grave. And there's an old song that goes like this: you may buy insurance plans that pay you when you're ill, and if your earthly house burns down, a new one they will build. Insurance on your earthly wealth, your silver and your gold, but what have you got if you don't have insurance on your soul? And I'm so glad that after we finish this message today that Alice picked out Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Because assurance, we need to know where we're going. We need to know that there's something more to this life than what we're living. And basically, talking about insurance in the earthly sense, as we go up in years, there's more and more baby boomers that are entering that stage of life where they begin to think about Medicare and long-term care and all these different things to try to make provision for their declining powers. That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? As you begin to fall all apart, you're beginning to think, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Will I run out of money before I run out of life? And that's a scary thing to a lot of people, especially in the economic times that we're experiencing now and all these financial cliffs that people are going to fall off of. We worry about the temporal things. And there are some concepts that are terms that I'm learning as an insurance agent that truly do relate to eternity. Now, there are some terms here like risk. What is risk? Risk is the uncertainty or chance of a loss occurring. Before I really get into this sermon, I think we need to pray again. Father, help us. We pray. Get this message across to your people so that they will come out of this with a greater assurance, a blessed assurance, that they truly have been insured beyond the grave. In Jesus' name, amen. Risk is the uncertainty or chance of a loss occurring. The two types of risks are pure and speculative. And only one of those is insurable. Pure risk refers to situations that can only result in a loss or no change. And speculative risk is when people gamble. They speculate. They take risks. And then there are hazards. All these things have got to do with whether you're insurable or not. And Jesus died for all mankind. Everybody is insurable beyond the grave. But there are hazards. And now hazards are conditions or situations that increase the probability of an insured loss occurring. Hazards are classified as physical hazards, moral hazards, morale hazards, conditions like lifestyle and existing health, or activities such as scuba diving, or activities such as bungee jumping or something. We put ourselves in situations in life that are hazardous to our health and our longevity. I know places where you have to spend $25 to jump on a bungee cord. They couldn't pay me to get on a bungee cord. It's just that we won't do these things. But there are also moral hazards. Now, moral hazards are tendencies towards increased risk. In other words, if you evaluate the character and reputation of the proposed insured, suppose they lie. Suppose somebody lies on their application. Well, then they're not a very good insurable risk. And then there's morale hazards, and that's people that will do not care what they do. They will take a careless and indifferent attitude towards this. Now, so a lot of people have an indifferent attitude towards whether they're going to be in the kingdom of God or whether they're going to be lost. They don't care. Some people don't want to go to heaven. Did you know there are people who don't want eternal life? They actually don't want it. They wouldn't know what to do with it, and they say, I just would rather not go. If we die and that's the end of it, that's fine with me. But I don't want eternal life. I have come across people who don't want it. That's what you want. God will grant you your request. There are perils. Perils are the causes of loss. And life insurance insures against the financial loss caused by the premature death of the insured. You don't know when you're going to die. You have no idea. So what are you going to do about it? Jesus said, what is the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? These are things to think about. I'm talking parallels here with insurance. But really, what we have is promises from God. If you come to Christ, then he gives you a whole bunch of promises. These are assurances from him. Let me read a few. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the rest of it goes, for God sent not his Son of the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Here's another promise. These are assurances that if you will come to Christ, if you will receive him as your Lord and Savior, then he says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Now, who would like to have everlasting eternal life? Anybody? I'm in it. I want it. Yes. John 4 and 14. That was whoever drinketh of the water. But it's all through the Bible. Listen to this one from Psalm 22 and 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. See, we will do anything to preserve this flesh. We will do anything to make sure we have enough food on the table, clothes to wear, shelter, and a nest egg when we get old so that we can live on it when we are no longer able to take care of ourselves. But is that all there is to life? That's all some people live for. And some people don't care. They just live day after day. They don't make any provision for the future. But God says, look at the ant. He says in his word, look at the ant. He's always preparing. Always preparing. A little ant prepares all the time for when the time when he can't prepare, and then he goes down into the earth and he lives in what he prepared all summer for. Even an ant has more sense than some people. And that's so true. Here's another promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Psalm 23, verse 6. God has made promise after promise after promise. You're going to hear some more because there's nothing better for your soul than the Word of God straight out of the Bible. This is what we need. Do you want to make provision forever? For your eternity? So many people are afraid of dying and death. And they're uncertain. I mean, you can't even send your little child to school anymore and think that they're going to come home safely. We don't have that assurance. We don't know when some person who is absolutely not thinking will pull out in front of us in traffic. We don't know. But we can be ready. We can be ready for whatever comes and have a blessed assurance that we are insured beyond the grave. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall live or shall be forever. That is Psalms 37 and 18. And it also says, listen to this, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. And that is Psalm 49 and 15. Talking to people about financial things, you see, there are two things that mean a lot to people in this life, money and money. The world centers around money. Everything you do centers around whether you've got it or you don't. You need it. You want it. It is a necessary thing in your life. Just don't love it. Because some people love it so much. There are people sitting on hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars, and you go to their house and you think that they were dirt poor because of the furnishings that are in their house and the way they keep themselves and look at themselves. They're afraid to spend it. And they die and it all goes to the government. What is the use of having things and losing your soul? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Now, the way that you get blessed assurance, the way that you get insured beyond the grave, is to subscribe or believe or trust in these words that I am quoting to you. If Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, what he means to say is, follow me and you'll make it. Because without him we will never make it. If we do not adhere to, grasp hold of, trust in his promises, then all this is in vain. We need to believe and trust in God, and we need to believe and trust in his word. This is better than anything that you can put in the bank. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now that's really life assurance, life insurance, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He sealed him, and he will seal us. That is John 6, verse 27. And it goes on. Jesus just keeps on telling us and telling us and telling us. When do we get it through our thick skulls? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6 and 47. You've got it. It's in your grasp. It's yours. Just believe with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and live like you believe it. So many people believe, but do nothing about that belief. That's called dead faith. For faith without works is dead. Some people say they belong to a dead church. Well, what is a dead church but a bunch of people sitting there doing nothing?
Really? Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh. Did he not give his flesh? Which I will give for the life of the world. The life. Did you catch that? That is life insurance. The life that Jesus gave for us pays the premium. It's paid up. It's paid beforehand. We do not have to add to that premium. There's nothing we can add to what he has done. We just receive the benefits. We are the beneficiaries of this policy. He has made us joint heirs. He has named us the beneficiaries of all the hard work that he did and he is doing and is still doing on our behalf in heaven. He's praying fervently that you make it. That you will accept, receive, believe, and begin to live this life. For following Jesus is not just walking behind him, but it's doing as he did, living as he lived, talking as he talked, doing as he did. That's what it's all about being a Christian. Not just believing a bunch of doctrines and saying, well, my doctrine is more correct than your doctrine, therefore I'm in and you're out. That's not what it's all about. It's a personal living relationship with the living Word of God, and his name is Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That is 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. As thou hast given him power. Now this is Jesus praying in John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now this eternal life thing is important. Don't miss it. I'm talking about Noah in our Bible studies with Marcus, our devotions. All those years that boat was in the building. 120 years, that's some boat. 120 years. Of a great big huge monster of a boat, people watching, animals marching in two by two and by sevens and going into there and not doing anything about it. If you've seen such a thing ever happening in your life, what would you do? And for 120 years, all you got to do is get in the boat, folks. Just get in the boat. Some people think you don't do anything. You just wait. That there isn't anything that you have to do. Well, you don't earn your salvation, but you do have to get in the boat. Salvation has been provided. There is a way. There is a prescription. There is a formula. There is a policy that is signed and sealed. And all you have to do is receive it out of the hand of the agent. And the agent was Jesus Christ. He's the one that wrote it. He's the one that paid for it. He's the one that signed it. And you are the beneficiary only if you will receive it. Then you'll be insured beyond the grave. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs or beneficiaries according to the hope of eternal life. Titus 3 and 7. All right. And this is the record. John 1 John 5 and 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Now that's life insurance. If you are in Christ today, you're in. You're in the ark. You're in the ark of safety. You are saved. You are in the process of being saved, and you shall be saved. Stay in the boat, folks. Keep that policy close at hand. Keep reading it over and over. This is the policy, folks. Signed, sealed, and delivered with His own blood. He wrote it. He caused it to be. He fulfilled it. He did it. Take it to heart. If you have never, ever done this for yourself, anybody here, do it now. If you have let it slip, reissue it. Get it renewed. Get it done again. Go back to basics. Get on your knees. Ask Him to forgive you again. Wash you again. Cleanse you again. Restore you again. And get back up on your feet and get walking down that narrow way. Follow Him, folks. Then you will be insured beyond the grave. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us the blessed assurance. Years ago, Lord, when much, much younger, I gave my heart to You, and I have failed over and over on that journey, but I have gotten up again and again and again and asked You to help me, and You have, and You are, and You will. And so, Lord, if anybody here has faltered and failed, felt discouraged, felt like the policy had been nullified or somehow voided, assure them again that it is still there and that You are ready, able, willing to help them back to their feet, to follow You again. Let it be so, folks. Let them determine in their hearts. Dear Lord, this moment, in Jesus' name, that they will follow You.